my best.
What's up, guys?
About those yards after the catch. Pretty good.
That was a long time ago.
Are you finally going to wear your mom's helmet this year?
That's the goal. That's the goal, for sure.
Got a lot of good puck yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the article. I think it was eye-opening to see all that stuff. I mean, from a physics standpoint, all that stuff makes sense. Yep. Go ahead, Dick.
How's life changed since the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Nothing really. I mean, I think in Philadelphia there's maybe a little more joy here. Than maybe in years past, people are extremely grateful, which is kind of eye-opening when people say thank you for winning. I'm like, I don't really know how to respond. I just say you're welcome, I guess. But overall, nothing really changed. Still have the same mindset that I think the team has always had, that we've kind of embraced here in Philly, that we're going to grind. No matter what time of year it is, we're going to compete all the time. I think that's kind of the staple of the team last year, is how hard we competed each and every day, whether it was in the offseason, during OTAs, during this time, this portion of the offseason. But I don't think much has changed, honestly.
When you feel all this love,
yeah,
how hard is it for a player or players to not get caught up in and be full of yourself as the people are congratulating you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, my faith, I think, is a huge reason that I kind of just deflect it, kind of. I love the praise of everyone, but maybe earlier in my career I would be loving it. But now, as I've gotten further in my walk with Jesus, I'm kind of more even-keeled, you know. I play for something much bigger than myself now. I love the congratulations and stuff, but I seek the approval of something much bigger, in my opinion. But I do love the fans each and every day. They're amazing. They keep me. I love seeing them. I love when they give me hugs. It's fun.
It's been 4 years for you with the same tight end room. How's it different this year without Trey and Brent?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we lost two great people, first and foremost, and two really talented football players. Trey is moving on to something that he's clearly earned a room by himself where he's the head guy. Brent obviously played 11, 12 years here. I don't even know how many anymore. 11 years here, which is phenomenal. Probably go down as probably the best or second best tight end to ever play here. I didn't mean that by myself. Ken has all the records or something, I think. Some guy.
Pete Retzloff.
So the room's definitely going to be different. Obviously, it's an opportunity for me to kind of move on to the next stage of my career, kind of be the veteran. I was listening to Richard Rodgers speak when he was getting introduced, and he's like, it's going to be great to finally have a veteran tight end. And I'm like, dude, I'm a year older than you. So I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited that Justin Peele's back again. Our relationship's still going to be the same, but I'm excited about it. I think Richard's a very talented tight end. We're excited about what he can do. And we got three talented tight ends that don't know what they don't know, but they have a lot of potential.
Back to that helmet, what kept you from going to it in the past?
It just didn't work out. I don't want to get into the specifics. My head is weirdly shaped, I guess. So that was kind of the reason.
I know you've been through the business side of this game for a while now, but yep. To lose Brent, how tough is that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, obviously. He was the guy that when they brought me in, he's the guy that was the veteran tight end in Philadelphia. He's the guy that everyone knew about. And he didn't treat me as a guy that was a competitor to him. He looked at me as a guy that could help him further his career, where he didn't have to take every snap. And so it was tough. I mean, that guy has been with me from the beginning. He pretty much taught me how to be a pro in Philadelphia. And even a couple years back, as the playing time started to increase in my way, he let me kind of take on a leadership role. He wasn't overbearing by any means. He kind of let me lead in my own way. So he was, even though he was the leader of the room per se, he let me lead in the fact that he allowed me to kind of slowly earn more of a leadership role in our room. So he kind of set me up for this moment. I owe a lot of my success to Brent. I've said that multiple times, the way he was a dominant blocking tight end. I was able to learn from that for a lot of years, and I'm extremely thankful for him.
Over the last couple of years, it seems like the popular theme was, oh, this is going to be your breakout year.
Yeah.
I think last year, it's safe to say that was the year. So now what's next for you as a player as far as getting to that next level?
Yeah, I think the kind of way I look at it is that there's a lot of people that have gone on to do amazing things one time in their careers. There's a lot of tight ends that when you look back at their careers, they'll have one Pro Bowl to their name. And the way you become those great in the terms of a lot of other people's eyes is that sustained success. The guys that you're able to do it for 5 to 10 years in a row, like a guy like Jason Witten, who I've watched for years, that guy's been to 11 or 12 Pro Bowls now, which is phenomenal. And so when I started my career, I was said I always wanted to be mentioned with Jason. And so that's one of the things that I need to continue to do is have that sustained success, sustained leadership in Philadelphia, be the guy on offense, we're on third down or in the red zone. They know they could throw me the ball. I'll throw the ball to Alshon. Some of the guys just take on that leadership role. Again, more vocal per se, because in the past we've had a lot of vocal leaders. So that's another step for me, is kind of get out of my comfort zone at times and be more of a vocal leader. But in terms of breakout year, I think the sustained success is something that I'm really looking forward to.
You're really close with Carson, obviously. What have you seen, like, during these past few months about his, you know, his mindset, his rehab, you know, how he's approaching the upcoming season?
Yeah, he's excited about it, honestly. He's attacking it just as if he were playing. He's studying the film, looking for ways to design new plays to get him in the game plans. We're talking football even when we're at dinner together or when we're on. Or whether we're in Haiti together, we're talking football. The guy loves the game of football. He's passionate about the game. He still has the same mindset as if he were able to do all of OTAs. I don't know when he'll come back by any means, but he looks great physically. He's working extremely hard in the process, and you wouldn't expect anything less from him.
What is it about Nick and Carson that enables them to kind of – I mean, this could be a really difficult situation for a team, considering it's a really unusual situation. What is it about them that enables it to work?
Yeah, I think, well, first and foremost, they have an amazing relationship with one another. I think their faith has a huge part of their relationship. They're able to kind of take a step back and just focus on the team. Those guys have no egos, especially Nick. That guy is about as cool as they come. He's a phenomenal teammate. I think everyone saw that come out last year, his ability to, be, even at the beginning of the year, what he was able to do with Carson kind of help him out. When Carson was playing, Nick would kind of be a soundboard. So the dynamic really hasn't changed in that regard. Even when Nick was playing, Carson was the same thing for him. So that relationship kind of started to grow last year. And I'm assuming it's going to be the same. Nick is not a guy that's going to demand anything. Obviously, he could do something in the best interest of his career down the road. But right now, I mean, the guy just loves being in Philadelphia. I think he's really having fun playing football. And with this team, the guys we have, guys just have fun. There's not a lot of egos, which speaks volumes to the guys we have.
How do you think it's going to be in your mind going from the hunter team to the hunted team?
Yeah, I don't think guys in our locker room will ever lose the mindset that we will always be the hunter. We're extremely hungry for sustained success in this city. We've tasted it one time, and that's something that you never want to give up. We're hungry to repeat. Obviously, it's a brand new team. You can't just do exactly what we did last year and expect to have the same result. And it's not going to be easy by any means, but we're very hungry as a football team. I don't think we'll ever have that mindset where we've arrived as a football team or as a city. We're just excited about the upcoming year.
Do you think it helps? Philly special has been the signature play of the Super Bowl, but he did score the game-winning touchdown. How much have you reflected on that play and kind of how that will shape your legacy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's phenomenal to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, let alone the last touchdown in the Super Bowl. At the time, I thought we were going to have to score another touchdown. The way the game was going, I did not view it as that could be the game-winning touchdown. Even when we won the game, it hasn't really hit me that play is going to, like, have a lasting impact on my legacy. It's just something that it was 3rd and 7 on the 11-yard line. That's the situation where I put a lot of pride in. All the work up to that point was for a situation like that. You guys have heard me say it all the time, 3rd down and in the red zone. I want to be the guy. And that situation was 3rd down and in the red zone. And I got my number called, and I I just try to make the most of it. Obviously, it was a clear catch, regardless of what everyone's saying.
What about the fourth down at midfield? Did you kind of grasp the enormity of that situation at the time? I mean, if you guys don't complete that,
it's pretty much
5 minutes left and they have the ball in midfield.
Our mindsets were if we punt the ball, it's probably over. And if we don't get it on fourth down, it's probably over. So it was a huge play in the game. That play pretty much set up our opportunity for the rest of the game. But it was a huge play. Nick obviously made a heck of a throw. Doug, it was man coverage, clear man coverage. Brent was able to kind of rub my guy off. And I was probably open a little earlier, but Nick had pressure. He had a sidestep, and then the guy just dove at my legs. And as a receiver, you kind of have to deal with, okay, the ball is coming, but I know I'm going to get tackled low. And it's not easy to do, but you kind of have to block that in your mind and just focus on the football, and I was able to do it.
Have you watched it a lot? I mean, both those plays.
Yeah, I would think the third down, we had a third down on that drive or before that. I kind of ran like a little angle route. That play was, those three plays are kind of the plays that I pride myself from that game. Obviously, there are little plays here and there, but those three kind of stick out from that game.
You had, I think you finished in the regular season with like 8 red zone touchdown sack, which is either the second or third most in the league. Carson was on, did a show for NFL Films a couple of weeks back. And one of the things he mentioned, he said he doesn't think there are very many coverages that can stop you in the red zone. Why is that?
I think Carson and I, we've talked about it. We've watched enough film together where we have an ability to react depending on what the defense gives us. We're going to have answers for everything they throw at us. I think even when we're on the field in between practices, we're out there talking about the route. We're running the route. We're not only talking about it, we're running the route, assuming certain coverages. And I think we both understand the timing aspect of football. That's probably the thing that I've learned the most in being in the NFL between a quarterback and a receiver is the timing aspect. And you're only able to accomplish the timing if you're with someone over and over and over again. So a guy like Carson, the guy loves football, I love football, we're always working on that extra stuff to make sure the timing's perfect. And he also kind of allows me to work and trust me that I'm going to get the job done regardless of whoever is covering me or no matter what leverage someone has on me.
This is somewhat of a premature question, but the Eagles might draft a tight end. They said they left this tight end class.
Yeah.
The last time they drafted one was you. What's the transition like at that position from college to the NFL? And in this offense specifically, how do you see that learning curve if they do take a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, it's I was drafted into another offense, so it's tough for me to say how it would be coming into an offense like this as a rookie. So I'll preface it with that. But this offense is an extremely demanding offense mentally and physically. On the tight end, you have to know each and every position on the field, and you got to be able to run block. Obviously, Brent is a guy that did it for a long time, played in this offense for a while. I've played in it for a while, so it's definitely a demanding offense to be in as a tight end, but it's also extremely rewarding. And you're going to play multiple tight ends on the field. You can't have two guys. You got to have three guys that can play in order for us to be successful as an offense. So I'm excited for whoever they bring in. Told the guys the other day I'm here to help however I can, whether that be talking football or just allowing them to kind of watch how I approach certain things. I kind of was able to learn from Brent how to treat young tight ends coming in, young players coming in. And so that's one of the things that he kind of told me as I was leaving that, man, I kind of set the blueprint for a success from your experience. He didn't say that verbally, but that's kind of how I took it. So I want to repeat that for whoever comes in.
Do you look at the tight ends in the draft?
Yeah, every now and then. I think it's a good group. I think our 2013 class is one of the better ones. We got a lot of talented guys that play. But these guys do have a lot of potential. There's guys that are complete tight ends. I like my guy Dalton at Stanford a lot. That's a guy that I think could play a lot of years in the league. I'm a little biased, obviously, but yeah, I think it's a good
class. What about young tight ends? A lot of them mentioned you as a guy that they pattern the game after or watch, especially Dalton. He really looks up to you. So when you hear something like that, what does that make you think? Does it seem strange? Because you're still a young player.
Yeah, it is weird. Travis and I came in together, Travis Kelsey, and those are kind of the guy. Him and I are kind of the guys that I consistently hear them. So those young guys compare themselves to. And I'm not very much older than all these guys. I still remember when I came in comparing myself to Jason Witten. And obviously that was a pipe dream at the time. But, I mean, I think it is an honor to kind of have those guys say, Zach's the guy that I compare myself to, or he's the guy that I want to emulate. It's not something that I take for granted.
What kind of player do you think?
I mean, the guy's a freak show as an athlete. He's 260. He played receiver in college. He's got amazing hands. He catches everything that's thrown to him. Obviously, each and every tight end that we have has got to work on their blocking, including myself. But I think he's got a lot of potential too.
Zach Doug has talked about how he uses or how he used analytics and data to make fourth down decisions and other decisions. From a player's perspective, how did you use it last season or under this current coaching staff?
Analytics?
Yeah, analytics, numbers, the data they give you guys.
I don't receive a lot of the data. I just kind of trust the people that are making the calls, whether it be they're monitoring our practice reps and say, Zach, you need to kind of take it easy today, or whether Doug's going for it on fourth down. I think we inherently trust the people that are making those decisions. Obviously, it paid off last year in our Super Bowl win. I think our aggressiveness on fourth down as players, we don't look at it as something that analytics say. We look at it as Doug is he has extreme confidence in us as players. So that's all we care about as players, is that our coach has all the confidence in the world in us to make the plays on fourth down in the Super Bowl at midfield.
Zach, you mentioned Brent teaching you, Richard calling you a veteran, young guys looking up to you. Are you cognizant now that your role has changed? You've kind of become Brent on this team?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that the writing's kind of on the wall, per se. I'm not going to change. I've always approached the game a certain way. I kind of give everything I have to it. Oftentimes, I let my actions speak louder than words, just because I had a speech problem when I was young, and I wasn't confident talking a lot when I was young. So I think through the years, I've kind of evolved and kind of gained that confidence to get out of my comfort zone and kind of lead these guys. I'm excited about this year. It's going to be a really fun year, something that will be challenging to me to kind of be more vocal at times, but I'll probably always be the guy that kind of lets their actions speak louder than words.
What do you think was the worst call last night?
The worst call? Well, there was a lot. I mean, our guys were getting hacked. Ben was getting smacked up and down the court, and then these guys are just setting illegal screens each and every set. It was a bad ball by the refs.
Thanks, Ed.
Yep.
Appreciate it.